Radio influence. The future is now.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. Thanks for tuning in today. A very, very important conversation that we want you all to be involved in. If you want to get to us, please do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Our email, info@CrushPerformance, for your questions, comments, smart remarks. And if you have a topic that you'd like us to investigate, get to us there. We may dedicate a segment, even an entire show, to your topic. So please get to us. We want to thank everybody who's submitted ideas already. We're looking deeply into a few of those, so we appreciate it. If you're on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, you can go to Crush Performance. And if you want to get into our performance group, it's called the Talent Grid. Go there, apply. We'll let you in. Today, an incredibly important conversation. We'll be joined later on by Donald Hooton Jr., the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation and the older brother of Taylor Hooton, who tragically committed suicide after a stint using PEDs and steroids. Today's conversation, I think we should start it with a question. Are your kids using steroids or performance-enhancing drugs? Are your kids using steroids or performance-enhancing drugs just to change their appearance? Two incredibly important questions that I don't think we pay enough attention to, especially at the developmental levels. We spend a lot of time worrying and talking about the professional level of sports, the world of international competition, but I don't think we pay enough attention to grassroots and the influence and the impact that drugs can have on our young people. Today, that will be our quest. We will dive deep into this incredibly important issue to raise awareness and open up the conversation. Again, I'd like to hear your stories. I'd like to get your impressions. And if you have experiences, please, please do share. info@crushperformance.com is the email. To look at some of the current data, about 1.5 million teens admit to using steroids. That's about 7% of all high school students. And believe it or not, the fastest growing user group are young females who aren't even involved in sport. It's young females worried about their body image and their appearance. The average age for the first time steroid use is 15 years, and 40% of high school seniors say it's easy to obtain steroids. If you were to punch in steroids to a Google search engine right now, you'd come up with well over 12 million hits. And if you searched how to beat a steroid test, you would get over 4 million hits. Kids can order steroids online in under 10 seconds, and that's a big concern. 62.5% of all steroid users do it to improve their looks. And to give you a little insight into the mindset of those who are thinking about it or doing it, 57% of steroid users said they would take a pill or powder if it guaranteed reaching their athletic goal, even if it might shorten their lives. Think about that statement for a second and get back to our question of the day. Are your kids using PEDs? Or are they using PEDs to alter their appearance? Listen, this is a conversation we need to have more often. And it's not just the illegal stuff we're worried about. If you look at the supplement world, the dark, unregulated world of supplements, weight loss, protein, sport drinks, up to 25% of dietary supplements are spiked with substances that are harmful or illegal, banned substances that are not on the label. It's a conversation we have to have. Yet, 85% of high school age kids have never had a parent, teacher, or coach talk to them about the dangers of drug use, and maybe even how to get results without going to the dark side, because it's incredibly possible. Look, we know why athletes go to the dark side. It's because they don't know how else to get results. Either they're not training right, they haven't been trained right, or they don't know what to do in order to break through that barrier. It takes an incredible amount of time for an athlete to develop, process, learn, and master a skill. And it can take years. The problem is, in this Peak by Friday society, we are putting pressure on our kids to get ready and be these elite amazing athletes at a younger and younger age. And an interesting stat on this, 77% of both males and parents say that PED use in professional sport puts pressure on young athletes to use steroids to get ahead. So the image that we send when we hear athletes testing positive all the time now is more powerful than we thought. There's an incredible responsibility of being in the limelight of professional sport, not just to be a role model. And I'm not saying you have to be a role model if you're a professional athlete, because some of those guys just aren't. Some of them naturally are. We look at those guys because of what they can do inside of sport, females and males. But when professional and Olympic athletes get caught testing positive, trust me, the kids are watching and they're incredibly aware of it. And I think that's something we need to be more concerned about than we are. I mean, yes, cheating, the morals and ethics in professional sport is certainly a major concern. But we tend to focus on the professional athletes when it's the underbelly of this major issue that is a much more serious problem. And that's what we're going to get to today. Later in the show, as I mentioned, we'll be joined by Donald Hooton Jr., the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation. If you want to get their information, you can go to taylorhooton.org, because it's an important conversation. Everybody who's worked around me knows that I'm a staunch anti-doping advocate. And it gets to the point where, you know, with my athletes, I'll sit down with them, whether they're professional athletes, developing athletes, teams, Olympians. And one of the first things I will do is have a conversation about drug use in sport. And everybody will know right from the get-go that if they're thinking of using, I will try to talk them out of it. But here's the reason I really do it. Under the strictest of confidentiality, I present to the athletes the pros and the cons of using PEDs. If they are using, I want to know what they're using, for no other reason than to make sure they're not killing themselves. I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. This stuff works, and it works really quick. If you're using the right stuff in the right dosage under the right supervision, it can be a miracle. Look, most of this stuff comes from the world of medicine and pharmaceuticals. It's just trickled into the world of sport because there are benefits to performance. Now, if you're not aware of the long-term repercussions, or if you're not screened properly, or if you're using the wrong stuff, it can be incredibly dangerous. It can be incredibly dangerous right now, but if you're a young athlete in high school who's just going to reap the rewards, look great, and get the girls and make the team, that's fabulous, right? But what are the repercussions when you're 20, 30, and 40, when your kidneys and liver are failing, when your hormonal or immune system collapses when you're 20 years old? These are the bigger issues. And not only that, if you're getting your product online in the black market, which is the majority, the great majority of all the steroids and PEDs being used out there are black market. And trust me, it is a dark, dangerous place to be. It's no different than the drug trade. Cocaine, heroin, where they slice it up and they add stuff. We don't even know what it is. They do the same thing in the steroid and PED world. Don't fool yourself. It is a dangerous, dark place to be. And some of the studies indicate that 80% of the actual content of a PED from the black market isn't what it's supposed to be. Some of the research that we've done is showing that we can't even identify some of the substances inside of these crazy mixtures. And some of the doctors and researchers are saying there is absolutely no way these substances should go inside of a living body, human or otherwise. Just think about that for a second. Listen, a real important conversation coming up today on PEDs and the use of PEDs for performance and appearance. But we also have to get to the supplement world, because it is a dangerous, unregulated place. There are athletes losing their college eligibility, getting stripped of medals, losing their careers, and certainly endangering their health because of some of the products that are on the market. And some of the recent data is showing that as much as 25% of all over-the-shelf supplements are tainted with substances that aren't on the label, but would also cause a positive test on a drug test. So it's an incredibly dangerous place to go, and you have to proceed with caution. I'm not saying we're ever going to know exactly what's going on, but there are some good organizations out there trying to fight the good fight. The National Sanitation Foundation has a Certified for Sport. There's the First Choice Program, and we'll talk with Don about some of those options as well, because we need to be aware of everything that's going into our body. Listen, the first line of defense is proper training and proper nutrition. A supplement is that, is exactly that. It's a supplement to a good diet. It is not a substitute. So I'm looking forward to the conversation today. Again, please get to us with your comments. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info at CrushPerformance is where you can get to us. And coming up after the break, we will talk with Don Hooten Jr., the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation, about the tragic loss of his younger brother and how it's pushed them to create this incredible awareness campaign revolving around the use of banned substances and PEDs. Right after this on Crush Performance, stick around.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. Questions, comments, smart remarks, crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. If you're on Facebook, you can check out Crush Performance or join our group. It's called The Talent Grid. We're just hooking everybody up with the world of performance. Apply there. We'll let you in and ask your questions, give your opinion, comment on some of the posts, or post information. Listen, if you have an idea or a topic you'd like us to cover, get to us. Do so. Again, you can write to us on the website. But if we like your topic, we may dedicate a segment, even an entire show, to the topic. And we've got some great ones that we're investigating right now. So thanks for everybody who's gotten a hold of us with an idea. Today, I'm really glad you're tuning in. I really don't think there's a more important conversation than the one we're about to have when it comes to the use of steroids, PEDs, and the dangers of the supplement world. When we look at the world of PEDs and doping, we typically think of world-class athletes and professional athletes. But trust me, the underbelly of this issue is a much, much larger and an incredibly concerning matter. And joining us right now is Donald Hooten Jr., the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Don, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, you know, looking at the sporting landscape, you guys have been very active in educating and sending a strong message revolving around drugs in sports, supplements, and all the dangers that are out there. You guys started this venture 10 years ago, and there is a tragic story to the start of this and a real strong message that I think people need to hear.
Yeah, Jeff, I lost my younger brother, Taylor. He was a high school baseball player. As so many of our kids want to do, they want to compete and compete at the highest level. Well, Taylor not only wanted to play varsity, but he wanted to be the starting pitcher on the varsity team. And not only that, you know, it's such a competition today to have just this quote-unquote perfect body image that Taylor so desired. And like many coaches do, Taylor was told he needed to get bigger, he needed to get stronger, and he needed to get faster in order for him to improve his chances of making the varsity team. What the coach was unaware of at the time, that about 50% of the boys on Taylor's baseball team were already using anabolic steroids. So he quickly figured out how they were achieving their goals. Taylor began using steroids and when he was 16 years old, and shortly after his 17th birthday, we had just returned from a family vacation, and one of the side effects of using anabolic steroids and altering the hormones in the body is depression. And my younger brother took his life as a result of these drugs. And as a family, we came together and said, we have to do something. We have to speak out. We have to share his story. People need to understand how dangerous these are. And we formed the Taylor Hooten Foundation in his name to create awareness.
Don, such a tragic story, and I think it's happening more often than we know. And simple education and conversations like this can really raise awareness and potentially save lives, certainly help somebody avoid the dark side. Isn't it interesting how a simple comment from a coach or a scout, something as simple as, hey, get bigger, faster, and stronger, can turn into such a twisted, deadly tale. I think we're sometimes unaware of the consequences or the impact our statements can have on young people. Don't you agree?
We do hear it all the time. And I think it's a statement that's been pre-programmed in our mind. I mean, you see people ultimately, I mean, you get to meet some of these athletes and you see just their sheer size. And, you know, the desire for some of these young people to get that big and you know, a coach making a statement like that maybe 20 years ago, you know, might not been as bad. But today, these kids have access to these drugs. They're very easy to obtain. They work. They work quickly, but they're very, very dangerous. And on the flip side of that, you can now purchase, you know, some of these over-the-counter dietary supplements that's dangerous. So what we tell coaches today is if you were going to recommend to a young person, male or female, that they need to lose weight, they need to put on weight, that they need to change some part of their physique, that they need to be prepared to supply that young person with a diet and a plan on how to get there so that they can meet you know, constantly with that athlete or that young person to make sure that they're achieving their goals the right way and they're doing it to a point where it's not unhealthy.
We're talking with Don Hooten, the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Don, isn't it interesting? You know, we know that it's a process. We know there's long-term range goals when it comes to, you know, peaking and you know, achieving a sport performance. But we have this peak by Friday sort of mentality. And for me, it is, you know, Taylor's story is scary. But inside of that is even something you mentioned is even potentially more scary. The fact that most of his team was already using. Just think about this for a second. That's in one community. You know, in one town at one school, imagine what's going on around the world for young athletes this age.
Yeah, in fact, what our statistics tell us, Jeff, is here in the U.S., 7% of high school students, now that's male, female, athlete, and non-athlete, admit to using anabolic steroids. So, you know, that's, you know, in a typical high school here in Texas where we are, I mean, you're talking 2,000 kids. It's about 100 kids walking the hallway that are actively, knowingly using these drugs.
Isn't that scary? And some of the other stats that we're seeing, you know, most of the users aren't necessarily, you know, concerned about sport performance. Appearance is a big, big part of it. And interestingly enough, female users is the fastest growing user group that we have data on.
You're right. And the top three reasons, especially when we go into a school and deliver a program, you know, they'll tell us, you know, we just want you talking to the athletes. But what your listeners need to understand is the top three reasons young people report to using performance enhancing substances is one, they want to look better. Two, they want to feel better about themselves. And three is to improve athletic performance.
Isn't that interesting? We're talking with Don Hooten, the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Well, it's one thing to want to use, you know, and you know, I know there's been studies out there. If we look at death in the locker room where they surveyed student athletes saying that, you know, sort of the Matrix deal, where if you took this substance and it helped you achieve, you know, world-class performance in your dreams in sports, but, you know, 2 years down the road would cause the end of your life, would you still take it? Isn't it alarming that the majority of, you know, young athletes said they would do it without question? I mean, just to give you sort of a mindset, an idea of the mindset of the athletes out there.
It is. It's very scary. And these, you know, everybody wants to be the best. We push our young people to the best. We want the best for our young people. But we're in a day of age where they're looking to get from point A to point B in the fastest way possible. And especially when it comes to developing the human body, as you know, Jeff, with your background, it takes time. It's hard work, and it's not going to happen overnight. And it might not happen in a 1 or 2 month period. Some of these body changes and developing your performance and physique can take months and even years.
Yeah, and most of our programs, Don, you're so right, revolve around annual programs, yearly programs, and long-term programs that can reach out as far as 10 years. You know, we typically like to operate on a three-year plan for our Olympic athletes. You know, it's a three-year plan with the Olympic year in mind. And for our developing, young developing athletes, I mean, just think about it. When do athletes break into pro sports? I mean, we know the majority of football players are multi-sport athletes who go through college, then into the NFL. There's very few high school draftees going directly into the NBA. So, you know, you're going through college. We know in Major League Baseball, the average age of a player breaking into Major League Baseball is 23 years of age. I think, you know, there's such pressure put on these young athletes that they're looking for shortcuts to peak now, and that's just not how it works. And I think a lot has to be done in educating the parents as to the process of development and how long it actually takes.
Exactly. Yeah, and parents need to understand it's, you know, let the kids have a good time. Let them enjoy the sport while they can, because there's such a small percentage of young people and athletes that make it to that professional level. And we all want our young people to get to that level. I mean, obviously, I mean, it would be living the dream to play Major League Baseball or to play professional basketball or hockey. But what we need to understand is that does take time, and it's going to take a lot of hard work, and there are no shortcuts to get there. And by using some of these products, not only are we putting our young people's health at risk, but it's also breaking the law. And as you've seen in professional sports, especially Major League Baseball, who now has the best testing program in all of professional sports, it's a great way to deter this use and people to understand that. I mean, you can lose your job or lose a ton of money as a result of taking some of these shortcuts and using illegal drugs.
Right. We're talking with Don Hooten, president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. If you want to get to their website, do so. It is a great resource, great information, and all of the statistics are there, taylorhooten.org. You know, Don, you talk about the number of high school athletes are using. We're talking about high school athletes here. This is an alarming number in the United States. 7% of high school students are using. Think about this. If these are high school students, what would be the average age of when a kid starts thinking about it or actually starts using? This is a scary statistic.
Yeah. In fact, our statistics tell us, you know, through multiple surveys, that the average age of initiation when it comes to the use of anabolic steroids is 15 years old.
15 years old. Think about this for a second. What is going through the mind of a 15-year-old to turn to the dark side, so to speak? It's absolutely alarming. I think you're right, and I love what the foundation's doing. This is solely about education and conversation here.
And Jeff, if I could share a story, I received, you know, we always think, you know, when we surveyed the public, that most adults believe in this country this behavior is only going on in professional sports, but as I just shared with you, the median age of initiation is 15, but I was sitting at my desk a few years ago when a phone call came in on anonymous line. Typically, you let those go to voicemail, right? Those are sales calls, people you really don't want to talk to in the moment. For whatever reason, I happened to pick up the call this day, and gentleman on the other end of the line didn't disclose who he was, but he saw my father on TV and was just enamored by the work that we were doing and so thankful we were doing it. But what he wanted to confess that day was, he shared with me, said, "Don, I need to tell you, I know for a fact that my best friend is injecting his 7-year-old son for peewee football."
7-year-old son.
7-year-old son.
Well, if that's not
that's
one of the most
world we're living in.
If that's not one of the most alarming things I've heard, I don't know what might or could ever be. Listen, we know, Don, we've heard the stories of, you know, parents getting their older athletes, you know, some of these substances to help them perform, but a 7-year-old son, you know what? This is just pure ignorance, Don. You got to think about the long-term impact of this. And when we simply just look at the health consequences, we all know, as you mentioned, that there are results that you can get. They do work. They work quickly, but the long term impact on health can be devastating, if not deadly.
Yeah, and we need to really be pushing for education. And you know, Major League Baseball is our primary sponsor, and because of them, it's allowed us to directly impact over 1 million people here in North America. But Taylor's story and our education has been shared around the world. And It's something parents need to be aware of, understand that it is going on. It is going on in their schools. It could be going on in their homes. And it's something that, you know, that they need to have their antennas up on, just like we do when it comes to drinking alcohol, just like we do when it comes to smoking cigarettes or using other illegal drugs.
Yeah, and Don, you know, you mentioned on your website some of the, I guess, telltale signs and symptoms that your child or an athlete might be using. And, you know, most people have heard about the stories of rage and emotional roller coasters and the acne and changes of appearance. But it goes much deeper, and the depression side is something that I don't think it's talked about that often. This stuff is addicting. There can be a state of euphoria as well when it's taken away or when an athlete goes off it or when it's used improperly. Listen, we're playing an incredibly dangerous shell game.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, when we start to mess with the hormones of the body, it can cause everything from roid rage, where you see extreme aggression, to when people come off of a cycle. You know, my brother's a medical doctor at the time told him he needed to quit cold turkey. And having the opportunity to work and do what I do for the past 10 years, you know, I've met doctors that say, you know, basically that was his death sentence because, you know, his body's no longer producing natural testosterone, which can throw the body into a depression. And it's something we definitely need to look out for. Sure, I mean, all of our teens are going to have their mood swings. You know, they're going to go from being aggressively angry to sad. But to give you an example, one of the stories that, you know, I always share about my brothers is he was asked to do a simple task such as mow the lawn. Well, Taylor got extremely upset with my parents. He went upstairs and put his hand through a sheetrock wall. No more than 10 minutes later, he came down in tears apologizing to my parents for his behavior, and he thought he might have broken his hand. And that should have been a telltale sign of my parents. They should have known what was going on, but, you know, at the time there was no education available. And, you know, we just need parents to be aware of what to look for, especially when it comes to the behavioral changes, especially when it comes to the acne that will grow across the chest and the back, and you'll see it running down the back of the arms, and greasy skin, oily skin, and puffy cheeks are just some of the other signs and symptoms that you can look for if your young person's using these drugs.
Yeah, just think, Don, though, you're a parent of a great young kid and the kid is secretly using. You wouldn't suspect that, though. I get it. I understand why parents don't know. You know, we know the emotional roller coaster. Heck, we were all teenagers at some time. It's a tough time just being a kid, for crying out loud. I mean, our hormones are raging. Now you add in all this other crap, which is, as you mentioned, illegal, bought on the black market. We don't know what else is laced in there. That's a dangerous game within itself. But I can understand why parents wouldn't think that. But now, unfortunately, if we look at how easy it is to get this stuff, it's something that we should at least be thinking about. Because let's face it, when we hear that 7% of all high school athletes are using, and not just that, but 62.5% or right around 63% are using not for sport, but just for looks, and female users are the fastest growing group. Listen, we got to be aware here.
You're right, Ian. And, you know, in Taylor's situation, I mean, Taylor was a good kid. He was the last person, you know, at the school, any of the parents, not just my own, thought would be a drug user. And, you know, because Taylor was carrying a 3.75 grade point average, he's, you know, darn near straight A's and getting ready to go into college and looking at where he was going to further his education and play sports. So the last thing on anybody's mind is that this guy's using anabolic steroids. And in Taylor's situation, he put on about 30 pounds of muscle within about 60 days, you know, which we award kids for that. Wow, you know, you're benching more, you're lifting more weights, you're looking good, you're spending time at the gym. And we give them that positive influence that what they're doing is okay. And it's just something else we need to have our antennas up is, I mean, the young people that are using these drugs, they're going to be our best kids. They're going to be our overachievers, the ones that want to make it to the next level, you know, that are going to turn to this type of drug use.
Yeah, Don, you're so right. And on top of that, the fact that the majority of young kids who are using are doing it for appearance. They're not even concerned about sport. Awareness is certainly going to be the key. Hey, we have to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation on doping, and we're also going to look at the dark, dark world of supplements and everything you need to be aware of if you're a parent, athlete, or coach out there. Stay tuned. More Crush Performance right after this. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I'm Jeff Kershaw. We are your weekly source for performance information. The website, crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Facebook. Join our group. It's called The Talent Grid. Listen, I really would like to get your thoughts and your impressions of today's conversation. Info at crushperformance.com. You can reach out to us there. But when we talk about drugs in sports, that's one thing. But when we look at the big picture, we have PEDs, the performance-enhancing drugs, and we have APEDs, appearance and performance-enhancing drugs. The biggest user group in middle school and high school are kids who aren't even involved in sport. They're taking these drugs to alter their appearance, to try to fit in, to gain some confidence. And it's a discussion that needs to be had. And today, that's what we're doing. So please get to us. I'd like to hear what you have to say, or if you've had any experiences. There's nothing more powerful than sharing your experiences, which is what the Taylor Foundation is all about. Don, listen, you're right. The focus is on professional sports. I mean, we look at what happened in MLB, and now MLB is a leader when it comes to doping and anti-doping. They have the strongest testing regimen in professional sports. The NFL has followed suit. We see the issues in tennis. Heck, track and field. Look at what happened prior to the Rio Olympics with the entire Russian Federation being banned from sport, as well as their Paralympic team being banned in Rio. Look, we know that the kids are influenced by what the professional athletes are doing. And when we break down the data and the statistics, it shows that 77% of those surveyed say that use in professional sports influences and puts pressure on young kids to use. Just think of the responsibility there. We often focus on the moral and ethical issues of cheating and using in sport, the pressure it puts on other players to use. But to think that it reflects and influences the younger generation of athletes, well, that's a whole other story, and it's something that needs to be addressed. One of the things that's sort of come up in the conversation is the idea of testing, Don. Where are we at with testing, and how effective do you think a testing protocol might be, say, in the high school and even elementary levels? I know there's a cost involved, but is this something that needs to be considered?
So when it comes to testing, the hard part here is the expense. You know, there are a few states, you know, Texas being one of them, that had a testing program. They test in, I know, the state of New Jersey and Illinois. But the hardest part is the cost of each test. And, for example, when they were doing the testing program here in Texas, you know, the cost per test was probably somewhere around $100 or $110, and they were testing for 10 anabolic steroids. Now, there's over 120 different types of pharmaceutical-grade steroids. And the stuff that the kids are taking today is they're designer, so they're designed to beat these types of tests. So if you just look at the pharmaceutical grade steroids that they're taking, and there's 120 of them, but we're only testing for 10, that gives the kid a 90% chance of passing the test before it begins.
Yeah. And
unless you have a ton of money to put behind this, we believe education is so important, because one of the studies that was done is 85% of our kids have never had a parent, teacher, or coach talk with them about the dangers of performance-enhancing drugs.
Wow, a simple conversation. Imagine what that could mean for a young athlete. Well, that's why we're doing this show today. I'm glad you're joining us. We're talking with Don Hooten, the president of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. And let's face it, this stuff is easy to get, Don. I mean, look, we go on Google right now. There's over 12 million hits on steroids and steroid use. If you want to buy it, I mean, there's kids they can get their hands on this stuff within inside of 1 second online. So that's another problem, is the availability of this stuff. It's scary almost.
It is. And, you know, this stuff is going on. A lot of parents say, well, how do people get a hold of this? Well, this stuff is going on in our local gyms. It's very, very easy to get a hold of. And in Taylor's case, Taylor was purchasing his from a young man at the YMCA, which for most parents would think that's the safest place I can send my child to work out or do after school activities. But you know, let's not be lulled to sleep here. These drugs are very easy to obtain. You can purchase them over the internet. They are being sold in our gyms and in our schools.
Yeah, and that's where awareness comes in. And Don, the conversations are now so important. Let's talk about the foundation, some of the great events you plan, and some of the resources that you're providing to the communities out there. Again, the website is taylorhooten.org. It's the Taylor Hooten Foundation, and you guys have set up a real important base where athletes, parents, and coaches can go to get more information and get educated on the dangers of the use of steroids and appearance-altering drugs.
Yeah, so, you know, our website is a tremendous resource for people to come to and get more information. But because of the help of Major League Baseball that we've received over the 10-plus years we've been working with them, it's allowed us to develop an incredible in-school program. We call that our Hooch Chalk Talk program. One of the sessions that we provide talks about the dangers of appearance and performance-enhancing drugs, everything from the dietary supplement industry to how body image and current day advertising targets these kids to have this body image. And then also the side effects of anabolic steroids, where they're coming from, as well as human growth hormone, which is on the rise as well. So outside of that program, we've developed a brand new program called Dietary Supplement Safety and Nutrition, which where we come into a school and we talk about, you know, how to eat and, you know, what you can do through foods, you know, to help achieve your goals, whether that's losing weight, whether that's putting on muscle. And then we talk about, you know, where to find supplements or how do they work in our diet and how to make sure that what you're taking is free of banned substances.
Well, and there's a tall order right there, because let's face it, the supplement world itself is just another scary part of this conversation. It might be one of the most unregulated and dangerous places in our food industry right now. Let's talk about this just to raise a little awareness. Yeah. Look, we know that the supplements are uncontrolled. There are programs out there that are helping, but boy, proceed with caution if you're using supplements at any level of sport.
So what we have found, Jeff, I'm glad you want to talk about this because it's so important, and you see so many of our people taking this, or parents buying it for them, or parents taking it themselves. If it's labeled a dietary supplement, it is not considered a food. Therefore, there is no regulation or very little regulation on these products. Because so, what we found out working in this industry is one in every four, or 25%, of over-the-counter dietary supplements, you know, have tested positive for a banned substance. That could be anabolic steroids. We've heard of these things being laced with Viagra. And one of the stories I like to share with anybody that I talk to is about a year and a half ago, I was doing some programs and had the opportunity to talk to middle school students, high school students, and college students that would continue to bring me the same product over and over. So I said, all right. So we called one of the partners we work with, NSF Certified for Sport.
Yep.
And they began testing this product. And what they found out was that this product tested positive for meth-like compounds. So you had young people buying this stuff over the counter, and it had meth in it.
So stimulants. So we're talking about stimulants. We're talking about diuretics. We're talking about, you know, the anabolic substances, which we've seen through the 2001 IOC study. Listen, Don, this is a scary, scary place to be. We have athletes bringing protein powders and nitric oxide boosters and creatine powders to us all the time. And I'm just telling you what, I throw my hands up in the air, and it's just too dangerous for me to even recommend supplements nowadays. So you're so right. Proceed with caution here, because boy, oh boy, this is out of control. And not just that, we know the stories about cross-contamination, but some of these companies are intentionally putting in substances to get a benefit or are getting a result for the consumer.
Absolutely. And when people ask us, because we don't recommend any products, but when people ask us, hey, well, what products are good? What we do is we refer them to NSFSport.com. NSF Certified for Sport batch test dietary supplements. So if you were a product manufacturer, you were making a protein powder or a creatine or a multivitamin, you could send your products to NSF voluntarily. And what they do is they test the products to ensure that everything that's on that label is actually what's in that product and that they are free of banned substances. And they work with all the various sports organizations. So it's a tremendous resource because they have an app that you can download, or you could also visit their website to read more about the products they're testing, the type of products. And that is what we recommend people to do if they're going to decide they're going to use any of these dietary supplement products.
Yeah, and that's not to be taken lightly either, because we know that there are, you know, parents, again, providing supplements for their kids at very, very young ages. Look, it's a supplement. It's not a substitute for good nutrition. It's something we may use to supplement a good dietary plan. And even then, if you're really eating properly, the question then becomes, do you even need a supplement? So what a great conversation this is.
Yeah, and for most of our young people that are eating a full balanced diet, you know, there's really no need for dietary supplements. And before we were, you know, any young person should take any of these products, we always recommend, number one, to see your family physician, but two, to hire a registered dietitian, a sports dietitian, somebody that can evaluate what you're currently putting in your body to see if you can achieve the goals through food versus taking some of these products, and what products, if you are taking these, should you be taking?
Oh, Don, listen, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a great, great conversation. It's Donald Hooton, the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation. The website, again, taylorhooton.org. Hey, listen, Don, thanks for everything you guys have done in Taylor's name. I can't imagine the number of lives and careers and even just the impact you guys have had. So thanks for everything you guys do.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you giving me the time today.
Well, there you have it, everybody. A very important conversation. I really would like to get your impressions, your thoughts, and your experiences. You can write to us, info@crushperformance.com. You can send me a tweet at Jeff Crush, or write to us on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, it's the Talent Grid. But I'd certainly like to hear your stories, your concerns. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little off my game right now. To hear of an anonymous call coming in saying that he knows of a father who's injecting his 7-year-old son with steroids. Listen, that upsets me to my core. And I just can't imagine the mindset out there that would allow something like that to happen. And I'm not going to say I'm not surprised, because I am surprised at that. That surprises me. That is unbelievable in my mind. Maybe I'm a little too close to the industry. Maybe I'm a little too close to the data. What do you guys think about that? Let us know. Unacceptable. I know you guys think it's unacceptable, but I'd like to get your opinions. Listen, I do understand some of the lack of awareness. We talked about, you know, a parent maybe not being aware. You wouldn't think that your young child or your child or your athlete would go to the dark side, but do not be fooled. There is not a competitive athlete on the planet who wants to achieve and pursue sport that isn't thinking, or at least isn't tempted, or at least doesn't think of it at some point in their career. I'm not saying they're going to use, but we're not foolish enough to think that they're not going to think about it at some point. They're going to. And maybe conversations like this steer them down the right path. A couple of years ago, I was presenting in Utah to a group of parents and athletes and coaches. And it was a big group. It was 800 plus, I believe. And we were just talking about nutrition and performance and the process of performance. What does it take to achieve your potential, regardless of where that might go? Some people will make it. Some people will get to college. Some people will be Olympians. Others won't. They'll just go on and enjoy sport. But we were just talking about the process. And, of course, in our world, you guys all know, if you listen to the show, that our priorities are rest and recovery and sleep, nutrition and hydration, and for sport, posture, and then movement. The conversation on nutrition was really interesting, and one of the parents stood up, and this is the father of a 13-year-old football player, and he went on to say that prior to the football games, the coaches of his son's team would bring energy drinks out for the players to get them ready for the game. And yes, I was taken back by this slightly, but I wasn't surprised by this one. And I wasn't surprised because of the marketing that goes behind these products. The sport drinks, most certainly. But the energy drinks, if you look at how they market and showcase and pump up these products, I can see maybe I'm stretching it. You guys let me know what you think. But I can see maybe where a coach might think, hey, let's get these guys ready for the game. Let's get them fired up. Let's get them the energy they need to be successful in the field of battle. I'm not going to excuse it. But I can maybe see how something like this might happen. Look at how these companies market their products to the general public. The sport drinks, most certainly, but the energy drinks. Look how sexy and cool, and look at the people they're using to promote their products. Listen, it's rock and roll. It's sexy. It's the place to be. And I can see where, you know, maybe a person makes the mistake of thinking this is the right thing to do in order to get ready for your game or ready for your match or to have that extra edge. The sugar alone is devastating to performance, but the caffeine is another topic. There are young people dying from these high caffeine products, and we need to be aware of it. And I guess that's why conversations like this are so important. Please get to us with your comments. You can write to us again at info@crushperformance.com. I want to thank you for listening today. I also want to thank Donald Hooton Jr., the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation, for joining us and sharing their data, their information, Taylor's story, and all the things they're doing to raise awareness and help families and athletes and coaches fight the good fight. TaylorHooton.org is their website. Tremendous resources there. And if you're interested in the All Me League, you can get in on the action at their website. So, again, thanks for everybody listening today. Coming up next week on Crush Performance, the war on sugar continues as we share a tremendous story of weight loss as one of our good friends battles to get his weight under control and keep it under control. Join us next week as the Crush War on Sugar rages on. We'll talk to you then.